there was a thing called slavery. And we made some adjustments. We didn't totally enslave it because we said, except for if someone's convicted of a crime, so slavery can still exist, and even in the 13th Amendment. But we made some substantial shifts in the way the country practiced issues of slavery and emancipation in the Civil War. And so shortly thereafter, you can read this, in 1865, President Johnson argues that we don't need any special programs for blacks. Blacks are free now. We've solved the problem.
Yeah.
Lincoln was killed. Johnson was his vice president. And he started rolling back all the programs that were designed to help the freed slaves be part of the society. Because he said, you know, there are no special wards of the states. They're treated like everybody else, except they weren't. And in the next 20 years, it morphed into Jim Crow. So we had this long period where Reconstruction, where people were saying, all the problems are solved, and it reproduced itself, in part because the country adjusted, there was a backlash, and then we had Jim Crow for really till the 1960s. And at the end, as Jim Crow was coming apart in the 1960s, shortly thereafter, we had again sort of things like affirmative action, things like Brown v. Board of Education, things like ending anti-miscegenation laws, things like the Voting Rights Act, things like housing laws, all those laws, hundreds of laws saying we are going to be an inclusive society.
Yeah.
And virtually no one who's looking at that today would say we've achieved any of that.
But I want to ask you this. Is there a benefit or a danger to these like colorblind policies? So you have a lot of places now are kind of just doing away with racial quotas and such. Is there a benefit or a detriment to that kind of racially blind movement in our policies and our institutions?
Well, you know, the language is always just is a tool, and like any tool, you know, it can be one thing in one person's hand or another thing in another person's hand. And what's happened is that the right wing has actually usurped the idea of colorblindness. You know, it has a number of impulses in our society, one from the famous Harlan dissent in Plessy versus Ferguson, and the other one, of course, in King's famous speech. But both King and Justice Harlan would be very disgusted with what they saw today. And so you can think of colorblindness as a goal. Maybe one day we'll get to a place where race doesn't matter. You can also think of it as a strategy. That is, we're not going to see race. We're not going to notice race. It means the goal will never be reached. And I'm not sure as a goal it's even appropriate, because what we do know is that most Americans, including most white Americans, even if they don't see race or try not to see race at the conscious level, the unconscious is seeing race and acting on it and processing it in a very robust way. And so, in a sense, we don't even have a choice. We can say, I'm not going to notice it. The unconscious is noticing it. But I would go one step further and say many people who argue for colorblindness are not sincere. They're strategically using the rhetoric of colorblindness to actually maintain a racially hierarchical society. And they know that. They're very much aware of that. There's some people who really believe that it would be a good thing if we didn't see race. It doesn't matter if it would be a good thing or not. The fact of the matter is we do see race, and we organize around it, and it's quite important in our lives. So it's like, this is uncomfortable. I don't want to see it, so I'm not going to see it. It doesn't make it go away.
Yeah.
It means that we're not actually dealing with it anymore.